Breakfast with Ben's podcast. Tim Benz with you. Glad that you're with us as we get set for Syracuse and Pitt this weekend at Acrisure Stadium on Saturday. Joining me right now, you've heard him before here on the podcast quite a bit. A frequent guest of ours whenever we talk Pitt in Syracuse, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Orange, my good friend, Matt Park. Matt, the stadium has a new name. It's now Acrisure. It's not Hines. But every time you come back in that facility, do you flash back, as I do, to Panthers 76, Orange 61 in football, not basketball?
I do. We had that discussion this morning talking with Coach Babers because he invokes that story or score every once in a while, and we had a little pregame discussion this morning, and it didn't come up until the very end, and I kind of sensed a little smirk on his face, and we both were thinking about it without saying anything, and then traded a couple of stories about that one. But yeah, that's an all-timer, and to me, you know, that's the appeal of sports. Phillies hit 5 home runs one game, get no hit the next. A football game that outscores a basketball game, that's what we're in it for, is because any day there could be something new.
Well, Matt, your worst decision that day was hiring an incompetent stat person who needs their fingers and toes for every mathematical moment. I got you in a corner on a couple of those, so I still feel bad about that.
not a good day to have a rookie, right?
Well, listen,
a lot going on there.
How are we doing offensively, you think, for this game? I mean, my inclination is to say it's going to be a little bit lower scoring than I would have expected 2 weeks ago. What was Schrader's injury status? But maybe you can shed some light on it. What is his injury status exactly? Are we seeing him at quarterback for the Orange? Are we seeing Carlos Del Rio Wilson?
Yeah, I don't know right this moment, to be frank. I think it really is 50-50, not trying to play smoke signals or play along with it. And I think what the deal is with Schrader is just the accumulation of wear and tear that happens over the course of the season. He puts himself in harm's way. He had 21 carries against Clemson on the previous Saturday before Notre Dame. He got beaten up a little bit by Notre Dame. In fact, they didn't really – I think more to that point, it wasn't so much he got any worse against Notre Dame. It was – because he had kind of bum wheels, he couldn't be himself. He didn't run. They had one design run for him in the first half when he played. He didn't really step into his throws, and felt like they were better off to give the other guy a chance. I'll bet both of them play in this game, and I would like to think that Schrader starts. I'm sure he's at least going to warm up and try to go. He's a tough competitor, but and certainly won't be surprised at all if Del Rio Wilson starts and plays a great deal.
Pat Narduzzi gave it the "I don't think it makes all that much of a difference" line when talking about the two quarterbacks. I know that's a coach speak way of essentially saying he doesn't think the system will change all that much, but how much does the system change between the two, if at all?
I don't think the system changes. I do think there are a couple differences between them. Del Rio Wilson doesn't have the benefit of experience and seasoning. That doesn't necessarily have to be a negative. He does have a stronger arm. I think he can touch more parts of the field in terms of throwing. Is he as accurate? Is he in the right play? Does he make the proper adjustments? All of those are question marks. I think it might bring about some other receivers. When he came in the game, you didn't get the sense that it was quite the same Batman-Robin lock-in that Schrader and Aronde Gadsden are. And that could have been just a coincidence because it was a small sample size. But will they do things differently? I don't really think so. I think maybe they take the bat out of his hands a little bit. Let's say Del Rio Wilson starts, then I think you're really leaning on establishing the running game with Sean Tucker. Not that you wouldn't do that anyway, but I think that's maybe more of it and try to put him in position on high percentage plays and throws. But it remains to be seen. I just don't think it's really much of a scheme difference between the two.
You led me to my next question, Matt, and that is about Sean Tucker and the ripple effect of who plays quarterback. With what I saw when I was down at Clemson, it was pretty clear that the Tigers wanted to take away Tucker. Schrader took advantage with his legs. Because Schrader was banged up in that game against Notre Dame, or was it maybe just game plan going in, is that what Notre Dame was trying to do too, and do you expect Pitt to do the same?
Slightly separate questions, I guess. I think Pitt will definitely look at the last two games and try to play like that. I also don't think that's much of a stretch for Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
I think that's a Pat Narduzzi's background. He wants to run the ball and he wants to stop the run. And Pitt's good at that. Obviously, Abanikanda is a great player. And I'm sure anybody who watches the Notre Dame Syracuse film is thinking, well, that's what we should do. Let's just block him up, run it up the gut, take advantage of a, you know, 270-pound walk-on defensive tackle and go from there. So I'd be stunned if Pitt didn't do that. So, you know, Abanikanda is going to have his opportunities. I do think it has to be pointed out that Schrader was limited going into the Notre Dame game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were trying to, let's see what we can get by with. He throws a pick six on the opening play of the game, and that scrambles any plans you have. Now, they did come back to tie it. But I just think he was not 100%. Now, there's been a bunch of games this year where they went right down the field, helped by Tucker or Gadsden or whatever, but went right down the field and scored in the opening possession of the game. They've had the opening possession, by the way, in all eight games this season, and they scored in five of the first six. If you're playing from in front, you can get away with some stuff. And Notre Dame did that. Notre Dame picked six. Well, now Drew Pine just became a lot better quarterback, didn't he? Right? I mean, if you're trying to hide them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of what they did. They had a 7-0 lead, and let's hand it off to a rotation of three fresh-legged running backs. That was Notre Dame's game plan. But if they didn't lead 7-0 7 seconds in and about to get the second-half kickoff and all that, maybe you see something different. So, I would think other teams would look into a similar blueprint. Not that it's an automatic to execute, but Pitt certainly should have that ability.
Matt Park with his play-by-play voice of the Orange. You mentioned the injuries up front defensively for Syracuse. They've got one big one at each level, don't they, Matt? Right? One at linebacker, and of course, I thought the real big one, and that this kind of goes back to the Clemson game initially, and then again Notre Dame, is Garrett Williams is at defensive back.
Yeah, the Garrett Williams one is sad because it also gets into his pocket a little bit.
Right.
I mean, you're in an NFL city, and you know your way around that. So the guy has an ACL injury in November. You know, there goes your pro day probably. There goes maybe instead of a second, third-round pick, he's a fifth, sixth. I don't know that that'll be the case for Garrett. I don't want to doom him. But that's a real kick below the belt. That's unfortunate.
Hey, Matt, just understand this. Understand this. I'm lobbying for him here. You drafted George Pickens after an ACL. Go get Garrett Williams. I'm already planting seeds.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, great. That'd be awesome if it worked out. He's a great player and great guy and family and all that, and I hope for success for him. But, you know, I just think about it from a human perspective that, yeah, he's here to play football for Syracuse this year, but his earning potential just took a pretty big dent, you know, on one play last Saturday. So that's really unfortunate. I think at that position, the backups are okay. And I was thinking about like an Isaiah Johnson, who last year was playing for Dartmouth in the Ivy League, and this Saturday he's going to start in an NFL stadium. You know, so that this is kind of what happens in today's college football. But going back to your question about the injuries, yeah, the defensive tackle, the starter, Terry Lockett, is out. To be frank, Chris Elmore, who is the tight end who opened the year with an injury in the first few minutes of the season, he's played both sides of the ball in various positions. They probably would have moved him to defensive tackle out of emergency if he was healthy, just to bulk up the number of bodies there. And Kayvon Darton there now is an undersized guy who tries like hell and has been doing the best he can, but he's, you know, going to be knocked around by your top offensive line. So Stephon Thompson's the linebacker that was out in one of the first couple of games of the year. So, yeah, they've had key injuries on both sides of the ball. They're down about 6-7 starters now that are out for the season.
Final moments here with Matt Park, play-by-play voice of the Orange, getting set for Pitt and Syracuse on Saturday at Acrisure Stadium. It was fun for me, Matt, to go down to Clemson, take in that game as a fan. it had to hurt to lose that lead. It was funny because I got the feeling that the national picture of Syracuse coming out of that game is, well, they're going to be really fired up for Notre Dame because they showed the country that they could hang with Clemson and isn't that great. What was the sense that you had? Was that it going into the Dome that next week against Notre Dame, or was there a sense of maybe being a little flat or dejected because they lost the lead against the Tigers?
Yeah, it was the second of two. I don't think it necessarily impacted their play against Notre Dame, but in terms of what was the attitude, I think rare now is the program. Like, who is saying, yeah, we'll take the moral victory? Like, is it the right thing to say, oh, there's no moral victories around here. We expect to win games like this. That's what everybody says, mm-hmm. and that's what Syracuse said. And so they didn't really take a lot of, whoa, you know, shucks, wasn't that great that we were kind of in the game. It was thought of as something that got away and coulda, shoulda, woulda. When are we going to have another opportunity like that? So absolutely it was a letdown. You know, the fans who, you know, this is a program that won just one game a couple years ago, won five games last year. At the start of the year, you know, you're talking about just the coach on the hot seat and whatever. Now this team is in a, you know, is locked up a bowl bid halfway through the year, and everybody's upset that they didn't win on the road against an undefeated team in the top five that's lost one game at home in a decade. Okay, so that came quickly because now you know people were planning on game day here last week, and mm-hmm. that didn't happen. So those are the things that kind of blow up on you. And so, yeah, I think while objectively, I think you have to look at the Clemson game overwhelmingly as a positive. I do think there are plenty who were bent right away toward what didn't happen, you know, that kind of thing, or how it went down the drain, whether it was coaching, you know, clock management and or whether everyone blame officials, that type of thing. So this game's a big one because it has an opportunity to cycle that momentum back in a positive direction. You still have a third of the game left, or a third of the season left, a quarter of the season after this game. And are you going to win seven games? You know, you started 6-0. Are you going to win seven games this year or 11? You know, and only the next, you know, month is going to tell that.
Matt, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us. I got to ask before we go, since there are legions of IUP grads in Western Pennsylvania, did they give a little scare to the Orange in the Dome? And when the Orange go to the Final Four this year, can I tell the story of how IUP primed them for the ACC schedule? Can I wax poetic about that in a few months?
You can wax all you want. I will say, I'll say they're going to the Final Four, right? I
mean, you yeah, yeah.
Feel pretty good about IUP going back to the Division II Final Four. You know, Joe Lombardi's a great guy, fun to be around, fun team to learn about. And did they give a real scare? Not in my opinion. You know, they lost. Everybody wants to, again, be up in arms. Oh, Syracuse was trailing a Division II team in the second half. They won the game by 18. Okay, mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was really in jeopardy. But
and the last time that happened, they went to the Final Four, right? Wasn't that the case in the Lemoyne year?
Yeah, Lemoyne. Yeah,
yeah.
Lost an exhibition game and then had a pretty good year. So, as I always tell, I have to remind people, these games do not count. Okay, so they count starting on Monday, and let's overreact to those, not these.
Matt, thanks. Appreciate it. Have a good call on the north side on Saturday. We'll see you when you get in, okay?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, Tim.
All right, Matt Park, play-by-play voice of the Orange here in the Breakfast of the Bens podcast.